Matthew and Luke, they gave us a more detail about his birth, and they were written by different person at different time. But today we would like to put them together so you will see the record is correctly in those two books, and they match so well together. And Gospel Luke is stated between angel and Mary, and Matthew is between angel and Joseph. So very interestingly, the angels did the situation for two different persons at different time. But when they put together, you will see that it must be only one who guided every detail. So let's go to Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. I'll read one verse and you follow. Verse 26, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. This is between Gabriel, angel, and Mary. And the angel came to Mary with a surprise. And we know that Mary was already engaged to Joseph, but not get together yet. But when angel appeared to Mary, say, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Has anyone here got that experience that you encounter a, quote, a spirit? Could you raise your hand? Oh, none of you, huh? See, I have heard quite a few people talk about, if I can see God, that would be great. I do have an experience. There was one time in a retreat, I was the speaker. And during the session, there was a time called workshop, so I can be absent from the meeting. So I kind of went to the restroom. And that is a huge restroom, lots of closets. And after I finish everything, because I still got time, so I kind of just sit inside and try to relax and, waiting. So I stay very quietly in that closet. But then I heard a noise rush into the restroom. And from that noise, I know that must be a young guy. And then whatever he has done, I still sit there quietly until the moment that totally quiet inside the whole restroom. And then I start to make the move. And all of a sudden I heard a noise say, "Who is it?" I bet he thought he encountered an angel. See, if you run into something that's totally surprised, usually people respond is fear, afraid. So Mary is a normal, regular person. From these two books, I would like to share with you is a normal person, just like you and me. But we run into some spiritual experience, and we encounter called angels. Though their response are normal, they are normal people. And Mary was greatly troubled when the angel talked to him. But you see, if God's angel, holy angel, when they meet people, if those people are really seeking for God, the angel always say this, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. And then the angel kind of proclaimed all kinds of wonderful news to Mary. Say, you will be with child. Maybe not very good news for a virgin. And give birth to a son, not a daughter or a girl. And you are to give him the name Jesus. Furthermore, the angel start to proclaim that this very one, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, Son of God. That means in him there is a life from God. Eternal life is in him. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will be the descendant of David king. What a majesty. And then he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. He's going to rule Israel. He got authority over God's people. So these are all kinds of proclamation, and his kingdom will never end. That means he will eternally rule the kingdom. Could you imagine these promises? If we kind of take one by one, this is too huge, too big for us to comprehend, to understand. But again, I told you, Mary was a regular person just like you and me. If so many, many promises and so significant promises, but what this normal, regular person, Mary, respond? She responded, said, how will this be since I'm a virgin? See, whatever promise about the kingdom, the Son of God, the Most High, David's throne, the authority over Israel, didn't really touch Mary's mind at all, right? Or her concern is what? How will this be since I'm a virgin? See, her response is reasonable because through biological perspective, not married woman should not have a child. And her response also sincere because morality. She got a covenant with Joseph, engagement with Joseph. How will this be? And also, her response is also very, very serious because she may regard it as adultery. And by that law at that time, she will be stoned to death. So her response is very normal, regular person response. So we can see that Mary was not out of her mind, even though she saw an angel. And then we will see the holy angel. After the angel proclaimed all the promise upon Jesus, and after the Mary responded, the angel continued to what? To guide her, to confirm, to explain, to comfort, so she may receive the faith. She said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So try to explain to Mary, even though she would not understand. And then the angel brought up a testimony because her relative, Elizabeth, she was actually a pretty famous person because she was the wife of the high priest. So everybody know about their family. Both of them were very, very old. But They knew now Elizabeth, because God's miracle upon her, she got pregnant for 6 months. And the one inside her womb is John the Baptist. So Holy Spirit want to even build up Mary's faith, say, listen, something beyond people understanding can happen if God did it. So this testimony tried to help her to build up the faith, and then said, for nothing is impossible with God. Let her know that God is almighty, even though we are not able to understand. See, you and I, we are walking the journey of faith. Actually, faith is based on a portion of fact. That portion is we can understand, and we can accept that fact. But always faith requires, based on the faith, the fact, then we extend the area that we don't understand. That's called faith. But usually based on those facts, it's very important. They are real. They're around us. We know. We can verify that. So that's called faith. And for nothing is impossible with God. Now is 2011, almost 2012 years after Christ. Today, can a virgin with a child? Can today. The medical surgical process, we can inject sperm into womb. She still can be a virgin, right? But she can have baby. We can even transplant embryo, a test tube baby, into woman's womb. She doesn't need to go through the man and woman sexual relationship. Yes, she still can have a baby. So today, human technique can handle that, can work it out. Why God Almighty cannot do something that even human can do? That is reasonable for us. Today we know, yes, God can do. And the mayor, after the explanation, continue to build up her faith, then Mary respond like, I am the Lord's maid. May it be to me as you have said. Listen here, any miracle take price. Mary is willing to allow the miracle come to her, but that will pay the price. Trust and obey. So this is the between the angel and Mary. Let's look to that guy, Joseph, between angel and Joseph, because they still separate. God worked upon Mary, but at the same time, because they are engaged, husband and wife, so God still need to work on the husband. So let's go to Matthew chapter 1. Also, we will read, I read the first one and then you follow. Verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Oops, sorry. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Is that fair? God worked upon Mary. See, God also need to work on Joseph. And we look into Joseph as a normal, regular guy. This is a reality. Mary, a woman with a child, not from you. Surely you should have some response, right? And at that time, the law allowed the woman to be stoned to death. But Joseph chose not to, but just forgive and spare her life. Furthermore, he even considered, let her live with dignity, but not with disgrace. So, we shall not look down upon those people who always dream. Joseph dreamed a lot. Every time, some message always through the dream. So, maybe people around there, we'll see. And actually, the angel want to convince Joseph what happened to Mary. This need faith. And the angel says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name of Jesus. Do you remember when the angel show up to Mary? Did angel mention Jesus' name? Right? And also to Joseph. The angel also told Joseph the name is Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. This is a big task for the child. He will save. That means he will take the initiate step. He will be the beginner. He will save. If sin of human, just like the raging ocean, and people are drowning in that ocean, you can see all the religion. They stand along the shore, and all the religion just try to yell, to scream, to demonstrate how to swim to the people drowning. And then they stand at the shore and encourage them. Say, you try harder. Maybe even scold those people or threaten those people or try to comfort them. This is all the religion will do. But Jesus come to save. He not stand along the shore. He jump into the ocean to rescue and get you out of the water. Eventually, he gets drowned to take your place. Therefore, we said we were saved. We do not call Jesus some kind of founder of a religion or some kind of leader of a sect. We call him what? We call him Savior. Savior. Because religion, they gave their teachings, many, many teachings. But Jesus gave his own life. That's why we call him Savior. He will save his people from their sins. So once you were saved, you get onto the shore, then you became his people, his beloved people. Then you belong to him because he gave his life to you. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. So the angel wanted to explain to Joseph, say, whatever happened here, because there is some proof to you why this happened, because this already stated in the prophet. And we know that prophet is Isaiah. We can read what the prophet 680 years before Christ, 680 years before Jesus' birth, the prophet Isaiah, in his book, he prophesied, say, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. See, this prophet Isaiah, he is a very, very famous prophet because he served four Judah kings. He held a very important position and reputation in the history. He is not like somebody called nobody. He is somebody in the history of Israel. And 680 years ago, he already prophesied this one, say, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Because Jews, they know about the Old Testament. They know about Isaiah. They know about that prophet. Even today, those Jews, they don't recognize Jesus as Christ. They still believe that Isaiah said. So they are waiting. This try to let Joseph move a step forward. See, we see God is very, very, very patient. God doesn't rush people into belief, say, you got to get this. He, for certain area that we can understand, he will bring up all the evidence and fact. So through that, we receive those facts, then Joseph will be able to extend his faith. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home and had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and then he gave him the name Jesus. Is the name of Jesus significant? Look at into this very family. Angel revealed to Mary and Joseph separately. See, if the name was not brought up, what happened? Could be a cruel punishment, and life can be lost, and marriage be broken, and family dispersed. Jesus' name is significant. Is your marriage Jesus in your marriage, in your home? That can make a big difference. I see many, many, many families, they got big trouble. But once we bring Jesus into their home, because of the very name they can call upon for help, the family become reunion, the marriage preserved. So take it very, very precious. This name make a huge difference. And also, the Isaiah prophet about Mary, the birth of a virgin. And also, we need to see the history about the Joseph. 970 years ago, before Christ's birth, the second Samuel said, Lord said to David, your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. That means, David, king, your kingdom will be forever. And also Jeremiah, 560 years before Christ, said, the days are coming, declare the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. See, actually at the time of Jesus' birth, Israel is totally gone. Over the Palestinians, there is no Israel at all. It was colonized by Roman Empire. But for those Jews, they still got the hope because of this. Because God promised to David, their king, their favorite king, David, say his house will be forever before God. And that is why Joseph is the descendant, the 28th generation after David. He was the descendant of David. So Jesus under him That means Jesus is in the David family, in the line of David. Okay, we will use this following map to illustrate a little bit about the location of the history. This is a map. This is a Mediterranean Ocean, and this is Palestinian, or today we call Israel. And at Jesus' time, there are three major regions. The northern part is called Galilee, and the further south is called Samaria, and then Judea over here. And this is Dead Sea, and this is the Sea of Galilee. And Nazareth is over here. And this is in the plain area. And then you will see the map. Over here is 1,900 feet above sea level. It's a hilly area. And then continue over here is 3,000 feet mountain area. And then Jerusalem is over here. And then Bethlehem is further south. This is the Bethlehem. So you will see from Nazareth to Bethlehem. This is a journey that you need to continue to climb all the way up to Bethlehem. So this is the location that we would understand even today from the map. Okay, let's go to the next about the couple, Joseph and Mary. And they were in the Roman Empire era. And what happened over that days? And then we will also talk about the angel and the shepherds. So let's go to Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. And I read one verse and you follow. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And everyone went to his own town to register. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him up in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Okay, let's temporarily stop here. At that time, Caesar is the title of, just like emperor, Caesar is a Roman emperor title. It's called Caesar. And Caesar Augustus issued a decree. At that time also, Quirinius was the governor of Syria. So actually Roman Empire kind of extend from Europe, Asia, and Africa, three continents. This is probably the largest empire in the human history. And at that time, Israel was colonized by Roman Empire. And Roman Emperor would send out people to different locations. And one of them is Quirinius. He was sent to Syria to be the governor over that area. So this is the way we recorded history. Because two persons we call interreaction, so we know approximately the time frame. Augustus is the emperor, and at that time, Quirinius was governor, so we know the time window zone. And also there is one event. This event is a very significant event in the whole Roman Empire. That's called census. Census is the empire tried to investigate and assess the population, the power, maybe the military, culture, resources, economy. Usually, census established during a peaceful and prosperous period. This is a huge event, and this is recorded in the history. Everybody know, you can trace the history book. There was a census. And the emperor set up the rule for this census is everyone, every family, you need to go back to your own birthplace. This is gonna be a huge test, right? For everyone. Everybody got impact. Nobody can escape that. So you will see everybody traveling. They need to go and go back to their birthplace. And we knew from the map we just showed you, Mary and Joseph, where they were. They were over Nazareth, right? Okay. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Bethlehem, Judea. And that Bethlehem is David, King David's birthplace. So also for Joseph too. So he need to travel with the wife all the way to Bethlehem. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. That means the baby is due. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. This is actually a very simple fact. Because they need to travel from Nazareth. And because with baby, they travel at a very slow pace. At that time, the best way for the family will be pretty much like a donkey. You walk or with donkey. And we knew when Jesus was born, they brought Jesus to the temple. They brought their own sacrifice. And they only bring what? Pigeons, doves. Because why? Because they are poor. Their financial situation is not good for Joseph and Mary. So they probably would not be able to really ride on the coach. So you can imagine the pace, and they need to walk all the way uphill, climbing the mountain. So they walk slowly, or they maybe roll slowly. So they came, everybody need to go back to their original birthplace. So you can imagine Bethlehem, it's a small town. People keep on coming back. So all the possible residential area were filled. So they came back later than most of people. So when they got to Bethlehem, of course, there's no place. That's reasonable. All the motels say no vacancy. And could you imagine that this very little baby, when he was born, actually we knew from our faith, he is the creator. He created the whole universe, yet no place for him. Do we provide a space for him in our heart, in our home, in our schedule, or even in our church? Is he got the space that he needs? And he was born in a stable. He was put in a manger. Is anyone you ever raised horse or sheep? Could you raise your hand? Anyone? So we always see those pictures. Like Jesus was put in the manger, and every horse or sheep are there very sweet and nice. But could you try to even be real in a stable where animal was kept, horse, donkey, or sheep. If you stay inside the stable, those animal waste, filthy, dirty, vile, foul, frowsy smell, because their waste full of ammonia. Have you ever used manure? Have you? That foul odor, very stinky, and also very stimulating. Also disgusting environment. That is the place Jesus was born. The King of the universe. But he chose the place in the stable. Because he was born in this kind of place, one day I was open my eyes, I see why. If Jesus, the baby, the purest, willing to be born in the stable, in the manger, then I see my heart. This is exactly the right picture of my heart, just like a stable. Inside of me, all kinds of foul, stinky stuff. Even though I cover so well, people didn't know, but I know. But he is willing to come in and to stay there. I got hope. He comes so low, low enough to identify sinners. I want to be with you. I don't care. Even it's so stinky. But I want to be with you. I'm the Emmanuel. This is our Lord Jesus. And let's look into the shepherds. Verse 8 you have read, so I'll start verse 9. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Today in the town of David, a Savior was born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appear with the angel, praising God and saying, when the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see these things that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what has been told them about this child. Okay, the shepherds, they are outside the field, even in winter night. They will keep on watching. See, we, if you walk in this path, you truly wish some miracle, some God action happened to your life. Let's look into those shepherds. Maybe to many people, they are not very important people. But how? How they can really experience God's miracle? We will see from those shepherds, they keep on watching. They are faithful, even in the night. And they, when the angel appeared to them, they terrify. They with awe and fear to God. And after God has commanded them, they go. They go into Bethlehem. They are obedient, and they took action. So this is the way for us. If you hope, you hope that you can experience God's miracle, touch your life. Be faithful with awe and obedient with action. Miracle will happen to you and your life. And Jesus was born under the law so he can redeem those people under the law. But he followed the law and he fulfilled the law. The final one we will see. This is the prophet Micah. Let's read together. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origin are from the old, from ancient times. 690 years ago before Christ's birth, Micah prophesied about Bethlehem. From the map we have shown you, from Nazareth to Bethlehem is about 50 miles. Walking from valley and plain and up to 1900 hilly area, and then need to crossing 3000 feet mountain area. For a pregnant due woman was extremely dangerous and could be fatal at that time. But because an order from the emperor of the Roman Empire, this order cannot be compromised. Otherwise, there is no pregnant woman would ever travel this type of trip. Was it true that Caesar, the one who really controlled the history and fate, he's the emperor, he's the top on the whole empire. He ruled Europe, Asia, and Africa. Was he the real one who controlled the history? From the prophet, we will say no. Because what matter is God said, thing will be done. Maybe Caesar was so proud at that time to establish this census, because usually the emperor, when the time is peaceful and the empire start to prosperous, they would love to have census, because that's the record they can boast and they can put their name in the history. He wants to show the strength and the might of his empire. But don't we see who was really in charge? The Caesar was just only a tiny chip in God's hand, just a tool for God's will. Because God said, the one I sent, the Messiah, should be born in Bethlehem. Through our human comprehension, it's no way at that time a pregnant woman is near the due, need to travel such a long distance and climbing this top hill to Bethlehem. But because he said so, this is our faith. This is a testimony to us. The one that you believe in is the one who really in charge of the history. So we can proclaim our faith with dignity and with confidence. Yes, whatever he said will be real and will be the fact. He said he saved me. Yes, he will save me. I will be saved. That's for sure. There's no doubt. Because he proved in the history to us. So in your own life, this is also a part of history. It will be real to you. We have seen just very few what we call prophecy. Within the Old Testament, the last book was finished 400 years before Jesus Christ's birth. Within those 39 books, there were about more than 200 prophecies related to Jesus' birth, to his life, to his death, to his resurrection, to his ascending. More than 200 locations. And once those prophecies fulfill, they will fulfill exactly and completely. There is no gray zone for that prophecy to be fulfilled. See, according to our statistic, if anything happened, yes or no, let's put the probability is 1/2. And if more than 200 times, that means 1/200 power of 2. Could you imagine that probability? That probability exactly fulfilled upon Jesus. So our faith is very, very, very scientific. It's no doubt. We should not have any doubt that He is the one that God promised, and He is in you, and that is eternal life. Let us pray.